Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello and welcome back to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast, my beautiful souls. I am so grateful you're here. I just want to pause and really take a moment of gratitude. You know, I was at dinner the other night with a bunch of beautiful women in Nashville, some of my deepest friends. And, you know, I just want to say that being at a stage in life where you look around your friend group and every woman that you know and are connected with are just so deeply in their hearts and conscious and have done their work. It's just the best thing in life, to be frank. And I was sitting at this table and we were all just talking about gratitude and just how overwhelming it is to be present in the moment, what a gift it is to be alive, to walk outside of our houses in the morning with our coffee and stare at the trees and the birds and the sun and literally cry at the majesty of this human experience and just what a true gift it is to be alive. And we forget that. It's so easy to forget that. And I was sitting at this table hearing these reflections from these women and it was such a beautiful reminder. And so being here on the microphone today is one of my ultimate reminders of how grateful I am that you come to this show week after week, that you're a part of this conversation, you're a part of this community, that I get to reach women from across the world by just sitting here in my office at home on this microphone, broadcasting across the continents to each of you. And I hope that you take a moment today to reflect on what you are grateful for, that this conversation today, this moment right now, wakes you up a little bit more to the blessing it is to be alive. You know, we count our blessings in our health and our family and our things and the roofs over our head and the businesses we get to create and the friends that we have. But really, you guys, the greatest gift of them all is to just be here right now in this wild, crazy, magical miracle that it is to be in a human body on planet Earth, having this human experience in these spiritual bodies. So if you're new to the show, welcome. We go deep here. We don't talk about fluff. We talk about all things business, all things branding, leadership. That's the hustler, the new earth hustler that we are all stepping into. And we talk about all things spiritual. And if you're not new to this show, welcome back. You already know this. And regardless of if this is your first time listening to this podcast, if you are a regular listener, I know that you all are on the path of remembering. You're on the path of awakening to remember who you really are. And I want to take you back to a quick moment. It actually wasn't a quick moment. It was actually a long period of my life where I was completely asleep. I had forgotten who I was. I was completely sucked into the amnesia of the matrix and that life was supposed to be hard. If I wanted to be successful, I had to kill myself. I had to play the game because it's a fucking game of the patriarchy in order to win, make money, rise, be seen, be in abundance. And I believed that lie most of my career until it brought me to my knees in the winter of January 2022, where I was diagnosed with situational depression because I couldn't leave my house. I had burned my body to its core. And that year serendipitously led me on a very deep personal journey that was darker than words can say. And at the end of that year, I went to Egypt. And many of you know that story. It was the basis of my book, The Light Work, Reclaim Your Feminine Power, Live Your Cosmic Truth, and Illuminate the World. That book is one of the greatest things I've ever birthed. It was a total channeling. And I came back from that trip new. That was the only way I could describe myself. I had woken up, but in order for me to wake up, the old version of me had to die. And it was fucking intense. I often say that Egypt will fuck up your life in the best and most excruciating way. And during that experience in Egypt, I got so many codes. I got so many downloads. You know, you hear me use the word codes all the time, and everyone who'd gone to Egypt before me that knew I was going was like, you're going to go there and you're going to get the codes. You're going to get the codes. And I was like, what the fuck are codes? And then I went to Egypt and now I know exactly what they were talking about, because temple after temple, floating down the Nile River for 7 days on a boat, I just alchemized my DNA. I know that sounds crazy, but that's exactly what happened. And one of the biggest downloads, one of the biggest activations, one of the biggest codes that I took away was the feminine frequency is returning to this planet. I got all of these messages from the goddesses of Isis and Sekhmet and Hathor, who told me temple after temple what it really meant to rise in feminine power. And so I was there for 15 days, right? And I was like, got it, but what does this actually mean? And I was so inspired, knowing that I was going to come home and write a book, to really excavate this information that I was able to access in Egypt. And I bought a bunch of books. I went on a deep hunt for books by authors that were willing to share this truth in writing and show me the way, open my heart, open my eyes, open my body to the truths that we have forgotten as women of our true sacred power in our bodies. And one of the most potent books that I picked up that changed the course of my life was a book called Womb Awakening by Saren Bertrand and her partner, Azra Bertrand. I cannot recommend this book enough. And I read this book and I started following Saren on Instagram, watching her every single day. And the codes that this woman has is not of this earth. She is really an empress, a magician, a real life wizard of the feminine consciousness. There is no one like Saren. And about a little less than a year ago, I saw she was opening up a container called the Year of M, the Year of Magic. And it was an apprenticeship. And I decided to sign up because I'm like, you know what? I need teachers. I want to work with the best of the best. I often say that mentors need mentors, coaches need coaches. And there was no one else I really wanted to learn from than Saren. So I jumped into her container. And a few weeks later, she followed me on Instagram. It was like the biggest celebrity I could ever have hoped would follow me. I freaked out. I screenshotted it to my best friends. I was like, look who followed me back. And anyway, she became a sister. And she is an award-winning author, a paradigm-changing, literal savant who has 25 years of experience in the world of business and media and creativity, and really has walked the real world corridors of creative high power. She's seen the zeitgeist, the cultural moments rise and fall. And she is really here to bring back the magic in real life of ancient lineages, to really teach women the enchantress arts, and has dedicated her life to being an oracle for the feminine lineages of magic. She is a mother, a wife, a devotee of domestic witchery who lives in a literal fairy tale cottage in a remote forest in the Appalachian Mountains, where she courts with the old ways of magic and Gaia and the animal kingdom. She lives an incredibly extraordinary, complex, unknowable, and intimate life that she has so bravely chosen to reveal in the most elegant fashion, so that women like you and I can live their destiny of magical wealth and feminine glamour. She's a grand dame, a visionary leader of this feminine awakening moment and movement in feminine spirituality, sexuality, womb, and wealth in a way that is both deeply ancient and refreshingly modern, to be honest. And I was so blessed that she drove all the way from the Appalachian Mountains to Nashville. She came into my home. I got to sit in person with her. You guys should watch this interview on YouTube if you really want to get her energy. And honestly, this during the conversation, I left my body because I felt she was activating me, not just speaking to me. It's how I have felt in her container. And to have her here on the podcast to bless us all in person, to walk us through these codes of otherworldly feminine consciousness, you will see why she is my teacher, why I'm so blessed to learn from her. And it is my biggest blessing to bring her onto the podcast today to share with you Sarin Bertrand, the icon of icons when it comes to divine feminine power. So enjoy. And without further ado, here is my incredible activation with Sarin Bertrand. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler podcast. To say it is an honor to have you today is like a full stop understatement. Thank you for coming to Nashville to spend this time with me. I don't want to fangirl, like I said, over you like a downstairs, but you are one of the few people I can point to in my work on my divine feminine path and say that woman has changed my life.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
It's a deep honor. I have so many questions for you, but I start with the first question Okay. Every guest gets asked in nature of the show. Okay. What are you spiritually hustling for right now, Sarin?
What am I spiritually hustling for? Well, in my work, I feel the hustle part of the spiritual journey has been to create the structural magic or structural wealth for the next generations. And for me, that has called me out of the mermaid ocean. You know, so a lot of feminine embodiment is, you know, resting, regenerating, really all beautiful things to practice. But I feel like women now need to come back into the world. Like we retreated from the world to heal our wounds, lick our wounds, regenerate. But now it's time to come back into the world and build this new structure, finance this new structure, infuse it with our vision, our magic, like the destiny that we want for future generations. And that does require hard work.
Yes.
There is I call it a summoning of spirit to do this. And it would be easier to just kind of be on the beach in the feminine energy, you know.
Swimming in the ocean, yeah, feeling our feelings.
Exactly, the water energy of the feminine. So I call this, I call it black fire. It's not like the raging fire, like wild, destroy things. It's this very focused, but in a magical way. It's like about alignment and precision and commitment and responsibility to call in this new structure rather than just, you know, look out on the world and say, you know, the world is burning. It's to start incepting the world we want to create. And as women, we are creatrixes. This is our divine job. This is like we have all the tools and the skills for this. We have to remember that we carry the divine blueprints of creation in our wombs. We are being over, there's a great oversight of angels, you might say, whatever, you know, that means to you, that are supporting women to activate this new architecture, this new vision of our world. We're not waiting for permission from the old world. We are awakening this knowing in us. So for me, that's the thing that I'm working towards. And it's an initiation. You know, it requires courage. It requires dedication. It requires doing things that you don't really want to do, or doing things that are actually a bit over your edge or out of your reach. So for me, it's, I think of my daughter, and it's a really strange thing that I think many women have. Sometimes it's harder to do things for ourselves, but for the future generation, or when I see my daughter or her friends, that kind of strengthens my will, strengthens my vision, strengthens my commitment to this path of feminine magic and feminine wealth too.
Let's talk about it all.
Okay.
There's so many beautiful aspects of your teaching. And you do talk about the structural feminine in a way that I'd never heard it before.
Yes.
And so we hear the divine feminine, we hear of feminine flow and all of the different ways that we can lean into those, what you were saying, sort of softer aspects.
Yes.
Which I think a lot of women in my community have come to me for, because they're burnt out, they're tired, and are looking for a more embodied way to do their work. But can you introduce us to the structural feminine?
Yes. So we've come to this idea in the modern world that there is the masculine that can get things done and the feminine who is just being and presence. And this is actually not accurate in the lineages, because when you look back, when women held power, they were economists, they were lawyers, they were priestesses, right? They ran huge temple economies and temple, cities. They were not just ceremonialists, but they orchestrated the ceremonies. So I feel like we've really lost something in translation, because what I've seen and my worry is that we get to a world where women are only allowed to be polarized into this soft presence and being, and then feel like the quality that is visionary, knowing, gets things done, creates things, architects, is masculine. So women feel like they have to draw on their inner masculine to get things done, and I don't agree with that. I feel that that is their structural feminine. And if you look at the architecture of creation, like even our bodies, we have a skeleton, we have a structure, and then we have fluid. We are both. Women are both. And in my world, it's been very empowering for women to know that they have these two alchemies in their body. And what we need is to reclaim the fluidity of our nervous systems, so that we can be in presence and being, especially with our partners, with our family, with our children, when we need to rest and regenerate and in nature. But we can also switch to our structural nature and create things and build things. Mm-hmm. And I really learned this when I became a mother. You know, being a mom is the most structural event. You know, it kind of is presented as like moms floating around in like dresses on farms, and it's so dreamy, and it's so like structural. You know, moms are spiritual hustling all the time.
Yes, they are.
You know, and that's not a bad thing. I think that what is difficult is when we are not able to also access the feminine presence, the feminine being, when we're not able to be in balance. So what I'm interested in is women coming into this balance where they can be both. You know, and then the divine masculine can be his own thing.
Yes.
You know, because he's got different qualities that also contribute to the creation and the party. But yeah, so the structural feminine is the part of us that's like a visionary architect. And women, again, all the women I know and have ever known, and where I come from in, you know, the north of England, which was full of matriarchs. So I always say I grew up in a matriarchy. You know, I grew up seeing really powerful, badass women, often quite, very strong with cutting tongues, but very loving as well. You know, running worlds in tandem with the masculine. And so I feel like women now really need to activate this ability to structure their own lives, to not be passive about what's happening in their own lives or what's happening in the world, to know, like, again, the womb is structural.
Let's talk. I read your book, Womb Awakening.
Yes, yeah.
And what an awakening that was.
Yes.
And we're all walking around with this sacred,
sacred
technology.
Yeah.
And so how do we activate this? How do we get more in tune with the power of this gift that we have and work with it and use it in our businesses, our wealth creatrix, feminine structure?
You know, I think it's almost like, you know, we talk about intuition as women.
Yes.
And there's something again about intuition that's presented maybe as a little dreamy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just kind of had a feeling or an intuition. But this is something deeper and more direct. It's knowing. It's like, for me, and I always say, it's like, you know, in your third eye, there is this kind of vision. You receive things, and then in your heart, you feel them. But then in your womb, you know them. And when you know, you take action. So that is it for me. It's like when I am confused or I don't know, or even, you know, sometimes you have lots of intuitions. And the heart can also feel things that are not quite precise. But inside the womb is this deep knowing. And when you hit that knowing, everything becomes clear. It's like a container of the truth of your life and the truth of your path. So I always say your womb is your CEO.
Yeah.
That you have this guiding light inside you. And of course, this is the energy or the intelligence that structures the human body and human consciousness, right? And when you're looking at like the womb of creation level that created everything, there's like a divine intelligence. It's like you can hit those quantum nodes where you're doing the quantum leaps. It's happening as if by magic.
Yes.
So you can go from the feeling of I'm struggling and I'm lost and I don't know, maybe I'm getting some intuitive hits, to I know. And I now am in tune with the knowing of the universe. And the actions I'm taking are directly, you know, divinely guided and precise. And then things start to happen as if by magic. And it's quite a fun game to play.
It is.
And for me, I think that like locating it in the womb, it's like otherwise these concepts of like knowing, intuition, they're kind of floaty. It's like where, you know, where's it coming from? Or people are looking to the sky or other people. But once it's in this power center, this creative power center, it's like you're always coming back to yourself and to your deepest being.
Yes.
Your guidance.
That's how I felt when I read it.
Yeah.
It really opened up the floodgates of truth.
Yes.
I was saying earlier, I was in Egypt and I had bought this book. I had seen a friend read it and I was just like called to it. Yeah. Had the sacred technology, the red on the cover.
Yeah.
And I was reading it on the Nile while I was getting activated by Sekhmet and Isis and Hathor. And I got so many downloads and codes while I was there directly from them around the matriarchy.
Yes.
And I love this so much about your work, because you've talked about the true impact and trauma of the erasure of the feminine, because it's so deeply entrenched in Gaia. Yeah. And we have been operating in this, I call construct, the patriarchal lie. Yeah. And, you know, many women listen to my show, they're on this journey back home to truth and to remembering. Yes. And I wanted to start with the structural feminine. I wanted to talk about the womb. I also want to talk about you.
Okay.
Because you haven't always, I mean, you are a modern enchantress.
Yes.
I won't even talk about what that enchantress code means, but you came from the UK, you worked in magazine, you were single for most of your 30s.
Yes, I was.
Before you met your amazing husband. Yeah. Can you kind of take us back, Soren, to, were you always this awake? Were you always this connected?
Oh my gosh, no.
Okay, can we talk about...
You know, I think like a lot of women, I was always very psychic and magical.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a container for it. I grew up in a very, you know, like the north of England is... that it's a matriarchy in the sense that women are powerful forces, but the overall structure, of course, is very patriarchal. Like the context, the stories that you're being given, like the biggest stories about who you can be. You know, so I remember growing up, the story was you can be a secretary, a teacher, or work in a factory. It was like these were the three opportunities given to me. But I was like very magical, very psychic, also like a little crazy.
Same.
You know, when you just know it's like you are not going to fit into the shoe of society. And so I felt that from a very young age. And then it was a long journey to like bring the containment of a spiritual path that could help me understand who I was. I remember growing up, my mom would say to me, like, you know, where did you come from? You know, they used to joke I came from the milkman. But just, yeah, just like a different kind of interest in the life, like what I was interested in. When I was 13, I had a vision of Mary Magdalene, and I'd never heard of her. We were not a religious family.
Really?
So I later found out after I'd written Magdalene Mysteries, because I was like, why is this woman been, you know, haunting me for all this time? And I did discover that my father was from Ireland, and they had had a big story around the Catholic religion and leaving the Catholic religion. So obviously, there was an imprint in my ancestral field. I did not grow up reading about her, and I had a vision of her when I was 13. And after that, I started painting pictures of women with illuminated wombs, or pictures of trees with like fetuses, but babies in the trees, which I later discovered when we wrote Womb Awakening, is the symbol of a womb shaman. You know, South American cultures, that they would actually sew that into dresses, like the female womb shamans. So I was bringing this through age 13, and my poor mom would, we had this like, we lived in a small bungalow. It was like very working class environment. And we had like this little entrance hall where the front door was. And I put all my, these paintings of like naked women with like illuminated wombs and like light coming out and trees. And I put them all, and my mom was fine. We had like this little exhibition, and like the neighbors would come round and just feel like, okay, let's ignore the crazy. So my mom was, and I think again, my mom was the same, you know, she was a very psychic, magical woman who'd lived in a very, you know, restricted society and environment. So I feel like she always supported me. She supported me in that inner world, but then she was less comfortable supporting me in the outer world when I started to make the rogue choices. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go traveling, I don't want to do this, I want to do, you know, more experimental or creative. I want to experience something. I really felt like I came into the world feeling I want to experience something, and I don't feel it. And I remember I traveled, I went to Paris, I went around Europe.
Yeah,
I was like, I never found it. And then the day that I landed in India and I met the goddesses there, I was like, I found it. She is here, you know, she is here. And that was the first time I felt like I found this experience that I had been born to discover. And then discovering her in India, where, you know, the goddess is a lot more available. Yeah. And being able to study with teachers who were, you know, in goddess lineages, who were saying ancient prayers to the divine womb of the goddess, like literally with the word divine womb of the goddess, helped me then come back to my own culture and my own traditions and re-engage with the Marys.
Yeah.
You know, and some of these other energies that were like right under my nose. Mm-hmm. And to see, I almost feel like they were guiding me from the very beginning, to India.
Yeah.
To these other places where I could pick up these keys and codes to come back to this ancestral root.
All right, my friends, if you are listening to this podcast, I know that you know that the Matrix is bullshit. And yet it has gotten its hooks into so many of us, looping us into stress and scarcity and survival. And I can say this because I speak from deep experience. But here's the truth: your cells, your body, your systems, your life was built for brilliance, not burnout and fear. It is time, sister, to deprogram the deep programs that have been running your life for most of your life. And Microflow microdose mushrooms is your key. Now, these are high vibe, organic, Reiki infused blends designed to support your nervous system, your menstrual cycle, your psyche, and your physical body in breaking free from it all. Microflow isn't just a magic mushroom microdosing company. Microflow is different. It is a soul technology. It's founded by Christy Nault as the only cycle syncing microdose protocol made for women to balance divine masculine and divine feminine energy on the market. The Exude blend activates your radiance, heart opening, bold expression, and full aliveness. I love to take Exude during my follicular and ovulation phases of my cycle. And then there's Surrender, which softens your system into deep rest, healing, and fertile reconnection. And I love to take Surrender during my luteal and menstrual phases. Now, if you want to tap into even higher states of consciousness, pick up a bottle of Theta with Egyptian Blue Lotus, which Christy says, and I've experienced this personally working with it, is a portal not into 5D realms, but 7D realms. When you use it in ceremony, channeling, ecstatic dance, or breath work, trust me, you are going to have an unforgettable life-changing activation. And when you purchase Theta, you're going to get Christy's full 4-hour guided breathwork experience for free. Microflow isn't about escaping. It's about alchemizing your life, your business, your relationships, your health, your vitality into more freedom. I would not have the life that I have, the business that I have, the team that I have, the body that I have, the marriage that I have, and the joy that I have if it wasn't for using Microflow consistently every single week of my life for the last 3 years. So visit microflowhealing.com now and use code Jessica10 at checkout for $10 off your order. Visit microflowhealing.com today to pick up your blends, and do not miss Christy's free 2.5-hour microdosing masterclass. Your sovereignty begins now.
Because I really believe that we have a soul lineage. So, you know, our soul comes from the stars, and then we have a bloodline lineage. And so what I became really interested in is that at first I was very connected to my star lineage.
What's your star lineage?
So it's Cygnus.
Is
the
it?
The swan. So, and you know, I connected to lots of different lineages like the Pleiades, Cygnus, often the ones, Ursula, you know, the ones that are connected to the feminine.
Yeah.
So I was deeply connected to that, and then more and more those star lineages kept directing me to my bloodline lineage and explaining to me that we incarnate into the body and the family that we choose, often not for the personal experience of the family, but for the codes in the DNA.
Wow.
The ancestral bloodline codes that go all the way back to the very first womb in that lineage. It's like a Russian doll of wombs within wombs within wombs. Especially for the last 7 years, that's what I've become more and more focused on.
Yes.
Bringing it back down to this, because it's almost like that's the star soul wants to plug into the soul of the bloodline. And then together there's like this unstoppable remembering or wisdom of the cosmic self,
yes,
and the terrestrial self, the earth mother and the cosmic mother within us.
Yes, I study from you, and you really do have such a code when it comes to tapping into our lineage and our ancestral gifts. And one of the things you've said, which I really it was kind of a paradigm shift, frankly. Yeah. I'm in this container with you, and you said, you know, you can take my work here and you could make it your own.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're not stealing from me. You said you're working for me.
Yeah, that's why I always say people are always emailing me and saying, hey, this person has done this. And I'm always like, no one's stealing from me. They're working for me. And they're working for who I'm working for.
Right, exactly. Right?
So it's like, I love, because I did work in magazines. So I had this decade in, I guess, office culture.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not like normal office culture, you know, like we would have boy bands come in and serenade us in the afternoon and makeup artists and stylists who come in on Friday afternoon to get us ready. But there's still, I realize there's like a structure to it. So I love the talk of departments and actually teamwork.
Yeah.
And I have said that I feel that is missing in the women's spiritual movement right now. Because ironically, when I worked on magazines, which, you know, and like high media, which, you know, you would associate with like, you know, the kind of media bitches, you know, like catfighting every woman for herself, you know. And that was not my experience. Like, obviously that can happen, but actually my experience, I will say, I felt looking back now, I was initiated in this temple of high priestesses of creativity and expression, like, you know, women who were very awakened in their throat chakra, let's say, in expression. And the structural feminine, and everyone was so ambitious, but it was like a collaborative ambition and like a team play, because you're all working for the same magazine, the same brand, you know?
Right.
You're like a hive.
Yes.
And everyone's talent needs to be switched on to the max. Everyone's starlight needs to be shining through to create this incredible vehicle or vessel. And so I found that in the feminine spiritual world, there's not as much of that. Everyone's like this little thing on their own. And I always say, I'm just like one human woman, you know, very limited. We all are. But so whatever needs to come through all of us rapidly.
Yes.
And that's pollination.
Yes, it is.
It's like you can't really gatekeep your ideas.
Preach.
Because we're not in those times.
We're not. And if we're, thank you so much for, we're so cut from the same starseed cloth, because it's exactly how I operate. And what you were saying earlier around the structural feminine and really moving women into their power, but in a collective sisterhood is what I call it, that mine is yours and what yours is mine. And when you win, I win, we all win.
Yeah.
Because of where we've come from and where we are, we need not to win, but we need to rise.
Yes.
And you had said something earlier around, this is the era of feminine wealth.
Yes, this is the era of feminine wealth. So I always say we've awakened our magic. Now we need to finance it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen so many women who were, you know, in the mainstream culture or structure, burning out, autoimmune disorders, depression.
All the things.
Like basically that system, if you're a magical woman, and by that we're all magic, we all have magic, but women who've really like tuned into some level of that psychic, sensitive, perceptive quality in their body starts to melt down in the mainstream structures. Like you can't do it.
Right.
So then you have to retreat, you know? And so I always say that's like your first awakening.
Yeah, definitely.
There's many more in the buffet.
You're on the right path. Sucks. Keep going.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to leave the job. If it's a partner who's misaligned, if you've got a family who is very toxic to you, you have to leave all the things that are burning you, you know? And then you have to find your magic. So then the next spiritual awakening, you're on this quest to rediscover, to find the calling. And then, you know, third spiritual awakening, you're embodying. Mm. You're like putting it into practice. And then what I'm seeing now is so many incredible magical women who need financing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? We need women billionaires with these visions of a alternate society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need women's magic, women's desires, women's dreams, just to have funding. And that's really practical, you know. It's like, and I think that women are also natural mavens of money.
You do, because you speak about the priestess of wealth.
Yeah.
And how this is ancient to us.
It's ancient to us. And even on the domestic, like growing up, women often keep the treasury of the domestic realm at home.
Yes, you know? We do.
Women are just really good at this. Women are really practical.
Yeah.
Actually, women are really visionary and practical. So that's, again, these two things I like to pull together. So it's not like we're practical, but we've got our vision shut down. And it's not that we're visionary, but we're out of touch with reality or the root.
Yes.
You know, it's like we have to bring both of these together. And so this is why I love Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
Because she's this woman, she's depicted in the medieval times deliberately as luxurious, like ornate, you know, dressed in fine fabrics, made up, ornate hairdos. You know, we know she was a wealthy woman. We know that the Marys financed, basically, the Jesus's mission. So she's this really incredible icon that modern women have of a spiritual woman who financed a spiritual movement and did not compromise her feminine self as a priestess.
Yes. Yes. So, I want to talk about, can we anchor some of this journey, if you will, of awakening through the lens of the frequencies you speak of? There's the ruby frequency.
Yes.
There's the diamond frequency and the black pearl.
Yes.
And that was just mind-blowing to learn from you. And I think we're all kind of at different stages and they all have different codes.
Yes.
But as women are stepping more into their power and embodying that structural feminine that you speak of, that I know my audience is on the path to do.
Yes.
I loved those teachings. Can we go deep into those?
So the ruby frequency of the womb is the time when you are discovering the power of your womb. You're discovering the power of cycles and the moon and your menstrual cycle, if you have one. You're being more discerning about your romantic partners, like who has access to your sacred chambers. And so the ruby is like, it's this pulsing red. It's like full of life. It's like discovering the life of your womb again. And I remember for me, I had this incredible event with this. I had been working on a magazine and I was really burnt out. I was covering for a deputy editor who was on maternity leave, and I had not wanted to do this job, but my friend was the editor and she'd kind of like put the shake down on me, and I was like, okay, I'll do it, you know, it could be fun too. But you know, in essence, it just really burnt me out. It was like the very last time I ever went and worked on a magazine, because it was like my body said no, my soul said no to it. And at the end of that, I made this epic decision to go to India and live in a tribal village and study Odissi temple dance. And I remember I actually called the dance guru up from the offices, the magazine offices. So I was in this like swish office overlooking the Thames River, like calling this guy in Orissa. And and actually, the story turns out it was a mix-up. He didn't know who I was. He thought I was someone else. And he said, yeah, come over, just fly in. So I finished at the magazines and literally like a month later took a flight to India and made my way to this tribal village and studied dance. And I was like a good decade older than anyone there, and I had never studied this dance before. Everyone else was like amazing at it. And I got there and I thought, should I just go home? Was this a terrible mistake? And the dance guru used to say afterwards, she's so brave that she stayed, because we danced like 8 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Wow.
In a very remote place. Like I had to share my bed with another woman. And I was at an age where I'm like, I don't want to share my bed with another woman that I don't know.
I get it.
And so I had this like incredible initiation into these like living priestess lineages. You know, we were dancing adorns, you know, putting our makeup on, our dance costumes. And after a few months there, I went to one of the most sacred cities in India that we write about in Magdalene Mysteries, Puri. And I was in a shop near the temples, and I saw this ruby necklace, and I really wanted it. And it was like, and maybe the equivalent now of like $300, $500. And at that time, I like literally, $10 was kind of my budget. So I asked the guy, I was like, you know, how much is this? And he told me, and I think he saw my face. I tried to be like, oh, I'll think about it. Right. And we went, you know, out to the temples, and he had saved our bags. And so I had to go back to the shop before we went back to the village to continue dancing. And when I got there, just as we got in our rickshaw, he ran out and he gave me a little like parcel. And he said, I don't want you to open it now. I want you to wait till you're at the train station. So the rickshaw drove off, and of course it didn't wait till the train station. All my friends were like, open it now, open it now. And it was the ruby, and wow. He had put rose petals in the bag, and he had given me this ruby, this beautiful ruby from like this holy city of Puri. So I really like meditated a lot with it. I went on a real journey with this ruby, and actually I was wearing it when I got married. I wore it as my wedding necklace. And like ruby for me is that stage of life when you're opening to love, you know, you're calling in new creations, you're falling in love with being a woman, you're falling in love with life again, you know, the light is back on. Yeah. And so I traveled that with that for a long time up until we did a retreat in 2017 in Hawaii. And when we arrived there, I prayed, as we always do the first day, for the ancestors of the land to give us permission and also to come to us in the dream time and give us a vision. Because I always think if a land has called you, it's for a reason. And it's the land needs to tell you the reason.
Yeah.
So I called upon a dream. But in the dream time that night, it was not a Hawaiian ancestor that arrived. It was the Dakinis from the Tibetan tradition. And I was at a market stall, and they had all these jewels, and I was reaching for the ruby because I'd been on the path of the ruby. And this woman, this like Tibetan Dakini woman who was like in charge of the market stall, said, no, 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 I want you to have this. And she gave me a diamond. And she said, and she was laughing and saying, it's sparkly, it's sparkly, it's Tara, it's Tara. And of course, Tara is star. And my name, Seren, means star. Wow. In Welsh. And so it's like this kind of star diamond energy. So then I was onto the diamond codes. And the diamond codes are wisdom. So I call it now, you know, we have, it's almost like the birth womb and the wisdom womb. You could also call it the death womb. It's the part of us that is beyond this incarnation, the wisdom that is more infinite than our human self. But we have to be located in our humanity first. We have to be located in that red ruby of our humanity, our heart, our suffering, our grief, not in a way that glorifies it or perpetuates it in a negative way, but it's what gives us our texture and our rootedness and actually often access to our ancestral wisdom. And then the diamond codes are this like deep truth and clarity and wisdom and a seeing. It's like a very otherworldly energy. And I think what I found, you know, my whole journey, when I first started on a spiritual journey, there was a lot of channeling of like star energies, but with no roots right. In the body, in yeah. The feminine, in cycles, in earth. And so this this merging of the ruby womb, which is our human womb, what we can create, and the diamond womb, our wisdom, our knowledge, our infinite essence, then creates and leads us to the ultimate expression of our black pearls. And this is like the deep magic we've made with our life. And I always say I love this. And I always say this is the frequency I am devoted to, because it's full of like majesty and compassion and sorrow and beauty. It's so deeply feminine. And I think for a lot of people, like, this quality is found like when you visit a Black Madonna. You know, I've visited the Black Madonnas in France, and it's like you're feeling fine, you're walking through the street in France, you know, you're like
having the most like croissants and coffee.
Yeah, exactly, you're looking at the patisserie, and then you go in these cathedrals and they're like these huge, vast terrestrial wombs, and then you see the Black Madonna, and it's like her feminine frequency is the black pearls. It's like because to me, it's the soul of Earth, or Sophia, Gaia. She has been inside every experience. And to me, that's the divinity that I am in devotion to, not the divinity that is so pure it wasn't here, not the divinity that is so righteous it's kind of exiled you. I'm here for this deep divinity that was with you in every moment, making it sacred.
Yeah. Getting emotional. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that journey with me. Yeah. And as you were talking, I see my own story in it so much. Yeah. As I said, I found your book in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And I've always been on the spiritual journey. As long as I can remember, I was talking to angels and the goddess when I was five, journaling about it, dabbled and expanded and found, you know, my relationship to spirit on my terms as I hit my 20s and 30s. I went to Egypt and pretty altered my life in the biggest way. And what you said about your star systems and your star lineage and coming into your terrestrial bloodline, and yes. I was so good, and I still am good at getting the heck out of here.
Yes, yes.
That like coming and being in my body was new to me at like 40.
Yes.
And to be really embodied in the gift it was to be a woman, which is again why your book spoke to me so much. Yeah. You know, we so much shame like the cycle and the blood, and we're so disconnected from our lunar cycles as women in the modern age. Yeah. And that was kind of my ruby journey and first step myself, and then going into the diamond frequency and being so clear and committed to my mission, the purity of my connection to spirit and what I'm really here to do as a teacher, and being so fiercely devoted to that. Yeah. It has that diamond like brightness to it. Yes. And then I came across you in the last few months in your program in December. I started watching your grief portal modules, and my dog had died. Yes. And I will tell you, I've done all this plant medicines. I've been to Egypt. I've been to Bali. I've traveled the world. I've talked to the Palladians on my meditation mat. The death of my animal was the most spiritual experience of my life. And to be held by you in that container, because you really did hold me in it, whether you knew it or not.
Yes.
Learning about the black pearl.
Yes.
Has been so expansive and a reframe on my work.
Yes.
Yeah. And in this container that we're in together, you really oriented this year to the mermaid.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not really that into mermaids. I'm more like a lion, you know, a Leo. Sekhmet's my girl. Yeah. But you saw my altar.
Yeah.
I mean, mermaids are, a whole new world.
Yes.
And so can you, and there's so much to say about them. to say about them, but why mermaids for you? Because you had spoken, it came to you.
Yes.
And what can we learn from them?
Yes. So, you know, on a really practical level, because I think in the symbolic mythic, we could just do a whole thing.
Completely.
But on a very practical level, what I love about the mermaids is it's an ancient lineage of feminine wisdom that was real and is lost. So the way that we think of mermaids as kind of like silly, made up, mythic right. things for children, they actually were real women, you know, following a real lineage. And what I love about mermaids, and I think why so many women do feel this draw to mermaids, is they speak to this way that we live in the ocean, which is feminine consciousness, the other world, and we live on land. So the story of the mermaids is always that they're in this infinite feminine consciousness, this otherworldly essence. You know, they're the sirens, the siren call. And then something happens, usually a guy, and they lose their selkie skin, or in the Irish tradition, their magical cloak. And then they come onto land and they get human legs and they walk on earth and they have a home and they have a marriage and they have kids and they have to feed their kids, but they're always longing for the ocean. And when it's a full moon, they're going to the edge of the ocean and they're looking out and they're longing for their sisters, for the mermaids, for the song, for the water. And then finally, at some point, they find their cape or their selkie skin and they reunite with the water. But guess what? Now they're thinking about their children on land. So now they're swimming into the harbor, like trying to catch a glimpse of their children and make sure their children are okay. And in the stories, they are like putting extra fish in the sea for the fishermen to feed their children. And I think this speaks so deeply. It gives me goosebumps to women, like we have a foot in each world. And we're so connected to this feminine consciousness, this other world, this like this magical frequency that is always calling us. And we're also married to and committed to this land life, this earth life, to making a home, to creating wealth, to, you know, feeding the children as a metaphor. So for me, the mermaid myth speaks so deeply to women at this moment, and especially, you know, in my world, and I know your world, the magical women who are now on a wealth path.
Yes, I wanted to go there.
And are having to, again, you know, you can't just be floating on your back looking at the moon.
Nope.
Singing songs with your sister mermaids. That's beautiful and great. Do that on retreats. But there is this call now to the land. And so I say in my teachings of the mermaid, I believe that this is the era where that back and froing of the feminine is about to be alchemized, where the mermaids come back onto land, but with their capes, with their magic, not facing this choice. Because I think it's a deep metaphor that actually, in order to fit into the world, they had to lose their magic cape. They had to hide it. You know, it's literally in the stories hidden under a bed or in a cupboard somewhere. So that we don't have to have this choice between our magical, otherworldly, visionary self and the part of us that loves a nice home and nice clothes and, you know, loves our children or our pets or our family and is looking at the community and earth. I think it's like, so for me, the mermaids like emerging from the sea back onto land with their magic is like the icon for this era. And the way that these magical ideas and pathways can be applied to the real world. So, you know, we were talking about the ruby and the diamond and the black pearls. Like, so, you know, when we're looking at wealth and business, we can actually apply these quite far away concepts to our brand and our business. We can say, okay, what's the red ruby in our work? Where's our humanity, our heart, our grief, our wounds, what we're birthing and creating, our cycles, that very, I call it mammalian, you know,
yes.
Like that very like red hot blood energy, is, you know. And then we can say, what is the diamond essence in my work? What is that bigger vision, that bigger clarity, that bigger container? And what is the black pearls? What's our expertise, our wisdom, like that we've come to share with the world? I've had this experience.
Yeah, so right? Good.
And now I'm here to like share the black pearls of it. And so we can apply this to our business and our brand and our wealth. And know when we kind of tick all of these frequencies, that's what makes an incredibly magnetic, radiant brand that's really speaking to women because they have all these aspects.
Yes, encoded and encased, if you will, in this structural feminine.
Exactly.
That you spoke to.
Exactly.
It's such an exciting time, I believe, to be alive.
Yeah, and what I love is I always say, you know, I've worked with thousands of women. So what I know about women are supremely magical and visionary. It's like women have blown me away so many times. Their visions, what they've perceived, you know, holding containers for over the years, thousands of women. But now I'm like, show me the receipts. What are you going to do with it? Like, that's an incredible vision, but I've heard so many visions. And I think it's the same with plant medicine. Like, okay, anyone can go away and do plant medicine and have their minds blown with a movie inside their psyche. But can you bring it back to land?
I could not agree more. I say that the plant medicine ceremony is really just the door. Yeah. But the true ceremony is your life and how you integrate it.
Exactly.
And I love that we're speaking to this because there's women on, I think, two sides of the spectrum in my language, in my community, that are, I'd say, hyper in their masculine, burnt out, tired, but they're getting it done, but they're lacking the embodiment and the peace and the fulfillment and the ease. And then I work with women myself that are so on the other side of the spectrum, so deeply in their feminine.
Yes.
They're not making money.
Yes.
And they're not getting it done.
Exactly.
And I think that we're being called now into a whole new vibration of what it means to be a woman in business, a wealth creator with all of the magic that's been encoded in us for eons.
Yes.
And calling it forward.
Absolutely. And it's not easy.
You know? No, it's not.
I think it's like we're told that it's easy, but it's not easy because if it was easy, everyone would be totally mistressing it. I remember a time in my life when I lived in London and I was, you know, like a high powered writer. I had quit magazines, but I was a freelance writer and I was writing a book about the first female president of Doctors Without Borders, who herself was a super high powered woman. And I remember being at my desk in my home, like toiling over this, you know, proposal we were doing that I'd been working on for 3 months. And I just looked out and it was sunny and the, you know, the green shoots. And I just had this deep knowing, like, I can't live like this anymore, even though my life would have looked so glamorous to other women. And even though I was a very feminine looking woman, I felt like I'd been so hard on the treadmill of ambition and work. And so then I chose to take a different path. And then I got to experience myself as a presence, as a like the inner worlds of the feminine, you know, when you just have time and space to expand and you discover like, wow, there's a whole universe in here. And then, for me, the interesting thing was then it came back like I miss that old version of me too.
Yes.
Right. I miss her too. And so this is what I've been doing in my work of feminine magic and sacral wealth, like weaving it together for myself.
Yes.
And I always say to women, it's difficult because it's not modeled.
No, you're
right.
It
doesn't exist in the world. It's not an existing pathway. We are all forging this pathway together. And that's why I say to women, do not be hard on yourself in this journey, because you're pioneering, you're alchemizing, your mistakes are part of what's forging the path.
Yes. When I went to Egypt, I'll tell this quick story quickly. Yeah. I got activated in Hathor's temple and struck by diamond white lightning and expanded into the ether, and Palladian spoke to me and the Hathors. It was crystallized my DNA upgrade and forever changed from that moment. Yes. And they said a lot of things to me. And my book, The Light Work, is a response to that moment, my life as it stands today is a response to that moment. And one of the many things they said was that the feminine frequency is returning. That's the link. And I was reading your book. I picked up The Great Cosmic Mother. I was reading The Divine Sophia. And it was like the returning. Like they didn't say it's being birthed.
Yes.
They didn't say it's arriving.
Yes.
They said it's returning.
Yes.
And while it's ancient and old,
yes,
it is new.
Yes.
What you just said is so profound that it hasn't really been modeled.
No.
Because it's hidden. It's been eons. Written out.
Yes.
And to be a woman at this time in her power is new earth rising.
Yes.
And to be willing to move through the initiatory process of the pain of it, because it's not in a straight line, like you said, is the most important work you can be doing in holding both your feminine lineage and your feminine responsibility. And I just feel so grateful that you walk this path with me, that I get to walk this path with you.
Yeah.
And the work that you do, Saren, is so profoundly world shifting.
Yes. Yeah. You know what I love, and I love this about your work, Jessica, and I see this in the future because, you know, I think we go through a part of our journey, and some people go more deeply into it, that when we're remembering the priestess, you can go into the like returning to the past. So you're dressing up like a priestess, you know, it's like a little bit of cosplay. And for me, what I got really excited about, especially in the last few years, is like, we can never return to those times. She is returning to these times.
Yes.
And these times have never happened before. This is completely new. It's like how this will land in this world, in this era. We don't know. We're unfolding that. We're opening
in real
that
time.
Envelope right now.
Yeah.
And so that's what I feel like the wealth work really helps me nail that. It's not like a dreamy retreat where I'm dressing in white robes and, you know, pretending I'm like, you know, it's like I'm remembering that lineage, but I'm allowing that frequency to move through me as a woman now in the modern world with all the questions and responsibilities that we have, wealth and business being one of them.
Yes.
You know, it's like these are our new temple economies.
They really are. It's so much fun to, I say, play the game with you.
Yeah.
With the eternal game. We talked about mermaids. We talked about the priestess of wealth. We talked about the rubies, the diamond, the black pearl frequencies, your story. Like I said, you are a tome of consciousness.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you my final quick fire questions. But before I do, what's one final piece of wisdom that you want to impart to the woman that's listening? She's on her path of reclaiming her feminine power, stepping into her wealth codes, remembering who she is. We can just tune into her. What would you say to her?
It's like absolutely tuning into earth and nature. That's it. You know, it's that she is the organic frequency. It's to the sunlight, to the moon, putting your bare feet on the earth, being in nature as much as you can. I lived in a city in London for a lot of my journey, so you don't have to be remote. It's just remembering that like a lot of this real wounding has happened in the feminine in humanity.
Yes.
But the feminine in Gaia is still here. She never went anywhere.
Right.
And she's working in tandem with us. And I think that's what's been missing from a lot of business and wealth.
I could not agree
more.
Like
this unsustainable, like let's just extract from earth and the body infinitely. But earth and the body are finite. They are not infinite.
Correct.
They are regenerative and they need to be supported in their regenerative blueprint. So I think this is a huge part of women healing, women awakening, women incepting new visions for business, wealth, community, how they inhabit their womanhood is by working in tandem with the spirit of earth. And she's there for it. She's with us. She's orchestrating.
And
this.
She's a she.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you for that code. We could do a whole episode on Gaia herself. Okay. I'm interested to know your answers to these questions.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite spiritual teacher?
Oh, wow. A favorite spiritual teacher. The teacher who had, I guess, the
biggest impact.
Biggest impact was a lady called, she's still alive today, Maya Tiwari, who wrote an incredible book on ancestral womb healing.
Wow.
Yeah. So hers was the book that found me at the right moment when I was at rock bottom and I had endometriosis and was very sick, and nothing in the culture or the medical system or the spiritual world or the healing world had the answer for me. And then I found this book as if by magic. And when I found it, literally I put my hand on the book. I was in a bookshop and I heard a voice like an angel say, "You will write a book like this too." And at the moment, that moment, I was in my lowest ebb. I was like, I don't think so. But and I picked this book and I bought it, and it was literally my Bible. It got me through, and I love that womb awakening has been that gift for other women too. So yeah, that was definitely the book that changed my life. And I think it's called The Ancient Path of Practice by Maya Tiwari.
We'll link it in the show notes, okay, as well as your book. Yes. Well, you kind of answered my next question, which was, do you have any other books that you recommend besides your own?
Yes, besides my, let's have a thing. You know, I studied English literature at university, so I'm very interested in like books that are not spiritual, that are very spiritual. So I feel like the book that's influenced my life the most deeply is Wuthering Heights.
Wow.
And I really want to, I'm planning to write something on that called The Witches of Wuthering Heights, because I think there's many secrets and symbols in that book. And still now I'll listen to it on audio book.
Wow.
If I need to connect to that deep land magic and lineage magic.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. I think I know the answer to this. I know that you work with Mary Magdalene so closely.
Yes.
But are there any other goddesses or deities, angels that you feel particularly connected to?
Wow. I mean, so many.
So many.
So many in a way. I think I first studied in the lineage of Chamunda Devi. So she was my tutelary goddess that I studied in a lineage with my teacher, who was the apprentice of a sadhu in the Himalayas. And they were devotees of Chamunda Devi. She's an aspect of Kali. She's a demon slayer. And I would visit the Chamunda Devi temple there when I was there in my studies. And there is actually a womb cave underneath the temple. So the temple was built on top of the womb cave. And I had the good fortune through my teacher, because usually you would never know that, to go into the womb cave, you know, for an initiatory experience. So I definitely feel like Chamunda Devi, she was the lady that when I lived in London before I was, pastor of the Mary department, I had all her iconography in my bedroom from the temple. Like she,
wow.
She walked with me through the darkest times of my life. Yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I know the answer to this. This is typically my quick fire question. We've already went there, but the question is, do you believe in extraterrestrials? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, and I know that's the
and
answer
I've
for
seen.
You. Yeah, you have.
I've seen. I don't just know.
You've had
seen.
Encounters.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
With any specific star family?
Oh my gosh, so many of them. Especially the this is such a big topic, isn't it? Because a lot of the fairy faith, you know, when you get a visitation even from Our Lady, the Lady in White, it's actually very similar to stories of extraterrestrial contact. So I've definitely had contact with those kinds of like angels. And I've seen spacecraft like with my own eyes. So I do believe. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of also women I know have experienced, that, and I think this is a whole other domain to be explored, is that the current extraterrestrial conversation or world is very bro heavy and doesn't seem to reflect our experiences of this. And I'm actually working on writing about this because I have had so many deep experiences, and it's taken me a long time to try and find like, where is the feminine in this?
Yes. That's why I love to ask this question. It's, you know, and I'm proud, to be honest, to be a woman that's talking about this very prevalently and out loud. I wrote about the Palladians extensively in my new book.
I love that.
I, you know, have read all of Barbara Marciniak's books.
I love her.
All of them. And the way that they explain prime creator is actually, it's a feminine force.
Exactly.
And to have it sort of translated in the 3D and that sort of bro culture energy is just so missing the plot.
Exactly. And actually, I had a huge epiphany with this, and it's actually in one of the classes in feminine magic school, because I have had a deep connection with the owl, but owls that are not normal owls, like owls, normal owls, but like 6 foot owls. So when you get into 6 foot owls, you get into extraterrestrial territory, let's say. And so I was going deep into this, and there are books on it that a lot of people who have contact see an owl before or meet big owls, you know, it's a whole thing. And of course, the owl is a symbol of Sophia and wisdom.
Yes.
And I finally, I found a book and I was reading it again. It's so, like, I don't relate to any of the energies. And then right in the middle of the book, the writer had interviewed a woman, and she was actually someone who endorsed womb awakening. She had written a book on womb traditions in the Mexican lineage, and she shared a story, and I read her story, and I it's included in the Feminine Magic School. I was like, there it is.
Wow.
And it's this idea of this type of frequency, of extraterrestrial frequency, is the diamond frequency that comes to women when you're moving from the maiden to the enchantress, when actually that aspect of yourself that was a maiden is dying. And the woman, you know, the queen, the enchantress is being born. And it's such a huge transformation that there are these guiding energies that have been with us since time immemorial. It's not new. And yeah, so I really feel strongly about that, that as women, we need to reclaim these conversations and do it our way, in our language, in our frequency.
Yes, and thank you for having this moment going there with this same frequency that I am so committed to. It's beautiful to hear you express that. Thank you. I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm going to summon an owl in my new land. I'm moving to the woods. I have an intention to see lots of them. Now I'll have a whole new meaning. Final question for you.
Yes.
What does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth?
What does it mean to be? It means... You know what it means? If I listen to my ancestral voice of the matriarchs, it just means I'm doing my job.
Yes. Amen. True. You really are. I retweet. You have been such a gift to me. And I am so excited to share you with my community.
Thank you.
Where can people find you? Tell us about the places we can dip into your books, your work, follow you on social media.
Yeah, so my I have a website, www.sarahbertrand.com. I also have an Instagram under that name. And I have a Substack called Enchantress of Elmet. Elmet is the ancient word for the land that I was born into, the ancient Celtic kingdom. So Substack is where all my long essays
They're
are.
So brilliant. Yes. We'll link it in the show notes. Yes. We've got to send people there.
Yeah. So there's plenty of little market stalls to come and roll up and see what I'm up to. Yes. And I love writing the long essays, and they're all available for free. So you can sponsor my, my Substack, but I don't gate most of my writing because I want it to go out into the world and pollinate and do its
work. That's right. That's right. As the oracle that you are.
Yeah.
And your beautiful book, Womb Awakening.
Yes.
I am just so grateful to have had this time with you.
Thank you for inviting me here, Jessica. It's been a pleasure. Beyond. I've loved talking, and I know we could talk for hours and hours.
I actually told my team, I'm like, so I only have an hour with her, because I could have a whole
we need
like
a conference.
We could like Joe Rogan this, not really, but like 4 hours. Exactly. I mean, truly. And I am so clear this is not our last conversation. I really hope that we get to make magic together in many, many ways. And I'm just blessed that you blessed me and my audience today.
Thank you.
It's just the
it's
beginning.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.